Brian Noonan on 720 WGN for the final time from the Allstate Showcase Studio, we think. Listen, things change moment by moment here at the Big G, but we are we think this may be our final time in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Again, information changes minute by minute. But the point is, we are on Michigan Avenue for what could be the final time. It is a blustery, rainy Michigan Avenue. And if you are anywhere in the area at 5:30, we're going to open up the microphones outside so you can talk to us and tell us about your thoughts of WGN moving. We'll talk about it a little bit. We're not going to dwell on it all day. We have other things to talk about. We do, and we want you involved in that conversation. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. When you call in, you'll be talking to Cody. Something's wrong with my microphone, Goff. He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That number, also the text number, if you want to keep in touch with us on social media. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. So there you go. This is very exciting. We, as I said, things change all the time. Up until about 10 minutes ago, we believed that this was our final show in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We talked to the chief engineer. Turns out it might not be our last show, but it might still be our last show. But either way, you know that WGN is leaving Tribune Tower, which is, it's bittersweet. It's kind of sad for us. Cody and I were up exploring the seventh floor, where our offices and everything used to be, and it is literally like going into a set of The Walking Dead. There are wires just hanging out of walls. There's nobody up there except Mark Carman. Somehow Carman, he's like one of the walkers. He was just up there. I tried to hit him in the head with an axe. Cody said, no, he's still alive. You don't have to kill him. I just hit Carm just for fun anyway. But so Carman was up there, and that's about it. But he's sitting up there, and there's really no... There's one microphone left in the sports office. So there's these huge empty studios and master control, but our engineer was down here. So literally Carmen was the only person on the seventh floor. And Cody and I wandered from room to room looking for various supplies that would keep us alive through this post-apocalyptic radio program. We were not very successful. We found a few dry erase markers that we may have to drain for fluid later. And that was really about it.
A couple donuts that have probably been there for a few years.
I was looking for it. Here's the weird thing. Now, programming has been out of our offices up there for the last week and a half, and yet the freezer and the refrigerator is still full of unidentifiable foodstuffs. it would be the best way to say it. News has been gone for a weekend, so you know there's really nothing in the newsroom. That's a vast, just empty space of wires and garbage and tumbleweeds and feral cats. There's just things, wandering around up there. So it was very weird.
This is the second move for WGN in my 10 years here.
Yes.
When we started, the whole station offices were all on the first floor.
Yes, and took up the entire floor. It was a labyrinth of offices. It was the craziest thing.
It was a weird layout, and then Howells and Hood moved in, so we moved upstairs. And just as that move elicited this feeling in me, you just, when you walk around and everything is kind of ripped up, it just creates this unbelievable urge to just destroy
everything.
I'll
tell you what. I wanted to break every office window. I wanted to smear things on the walls. I was a feral cat. I was like that feral kid in the Mad Max movie. I think it was Thunderdome.
I was just about to say that.
Yes, that's what I would. I was just running around making sounds, Pam. I wasn't able to enunciate words. I just wanted to smash things.
I had to tranquilize him twice.
I don't go down with
him
one.
Once before a show, no. Just because, you know, just in case.
Just to level me out a little bit. Keep me on an even keel.
Yeah. I got a question for you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Do I sound like I'm coming from another world right now? I mean, do you hear like an echo?
No,
reverb?
Let me just speak again.
Hello, this is Pamela.
Sunday.
No, I think you sounded fine. I turned you up just a tiny bit, but...
All right, it's possible that there is something wrong with these headphones. I'll switch them.
Listen.
Thanks.
I don't know, did we get new headphones, or did they take the old ones with? Okay.
No.
Then I would say lay money on the fact that it's a problem with the headphones.
You know what it might be? Is it a new board over there, Pam?
No, It's okay. The same one as before, okay. But it started while I was reading the weather, so it was kind of weird.
Okay. No, you sound fine to me.
Okay.
I did an interview one time, and this is fun in case you ever do like a radio interview. And
yeah,
you're
I've never
there.
Done one of those. How does this work? Wait a minute.
For the listeners, Brian.
You say a radio interview.
But the new digital boards, sometimes if they have headphones hooked up, there's a delay. So I've actually done interviews for my other podcast, the Curiosity Podcast, and I've done interviews from a radio studio where there is an echo and you say a sentence and you hear like a half second delay, hear yourself talk back in your headphones. Do you know how maddening that is?
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, so yeah, that's
so especially when people see people on TV all of a sudden rip their earphone out. That's usually what it is.
Yeah, because something is going
but
horribly
you can't
do that,
wrong. Because we're in two separate studios, like you're down the street. So if you got to tell me something, the headphones the only way I'm going to hear. Right?
I know. And you look at it, you've got the sky behind you. It's like you're in the clouds because it's very foggy.
Right?
Yeah, you're way
you
up.
You can't even see, and that's been progressively getting worse. I mean. You could see some buildings when I first came in a few hours ago, and now I can't see a thing.
Well, now it's nice, too, and this is, if you go to WGNRadio.com, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. So on WGNRadio.com, you see the monitor that I can look at to see Pam and the sports office and traffic and all of that. And before, you used to have to see people through profile, but now we're looking right at you. So it's very exciting. I see your sweatshirt with some sort of logos on it.
Some sort of?
Maybe,
We're that station now. Can you see it now?
No. I can't.
Go. You.
Oh, Northwestern?
Yeah, you go. See,
oh, okay.
You're good.
Well, listen.
Now, Pam, I know that you said it's not like we can just communicate quickly things. Yeah. Brian has decided to issue text messages and said if he needs to tell you something, he's going to smoke signal it.
Yeah.
I think that's just a ruse to set things on fire in the building.
Again, I want to destroy everything up there. I know we're all moved out, so there's nothing. Like, I won't destroy master control, obviously.
Right.
Because we need them.
It's the empty rooms with just
cabinets. It's all the empty rooms. I want to go into my old office and do horrible things in there. I don't know why. I'm not a destructive guy. But there's something about it's like when you see these old abandoned buildings and people throw rocks through the windows. That's kind of what I want to do. I want to run up and down the halls of our old offices throwing rocks through the windows. They're getting torn down anyway. Everything's getting gutted in a couple of weeks.
I was walking to my other job in Ravenswood the other day, and I saw, you know, with those big claw machines that
backhoe?
Usually the diggers, you know?
Yeah, a backhoe.
Oh, is that what they're called?
Yeah, I'm not making some sort of, yes, that goes in and it pulls the dirt back.
Right. So, but it was ripping out offices on the second floor of the building, and then it rested the claw on the second floor, and it swiped over to the side, and you could just see a cascade of bricks.
Nice.
I don't hear any cue, but when I go over the air, I wonder if it's...
You are on the air, Pam.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I wasn't in cue.
Very good.
We're trying to. The lovely Krista is with me. And
let's do two different shows.
You know what? Just keep doing what you're doing on the air.
That'd
and we'll
be
do
so
our
funny.
Show. And it'll be, I don't know how funny it is. It'll be interesting. Well,
it'll
I don't know how interesting it'll be either. It'll be a cacophony of clash.
Yes. Well,
so that'll be fun.
You know, I'm not really hearing that thing now, so I think I fix it. Other set of headphones.
There you go. Perfect.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
We hear voices in our head all the time.
Nonstop. All right, 312-981-7200. I just got back late last night from New York City. Very exciting time in New York City. But I want to talk to other parents who have moved their children to far-off cities. Now, you may say New York's not that far. I would say, yeah, I didn't move her to Naperville. I moved her to New York. That's a big thing. So I want to share those stories. I have a couple of misconceptions that I need to clear up about the Big Apple. Shocking. I'll do that after this on WGN. We're kissing the studio goodbye. We're kissing the building goodbye. That's what we're doing. All right. The final show from the Allstate Showcase Studio for us. Other shows will be here. The rest of the shows will be here all week. We will not be. Well, because we're here on Sunday. That's how it works. You know that. All right, so I moved my daughter to New York this weekend. We left Thursday morning amidst a lot of emotion, You know, she laid down the law, though, Cody. As you know, my daughter does not, she does not like seeing emotion in other people. She does not like showing emotion herself. She is sealed off, which I had a conversation with her on Wednesday as we were in the car. And I told her, I said, emotions are part of life and real people have emotions. You are not a Vulcan. So you must allow yourself to have some emotion. I don't want to have emotions. I don't want to see people have emotions. I was like, all right, well, that's going to be a rough way to get through life. But anyway, so I pledged that I would do my best to not get all worked up over the weekend. And I'm happy to report the only time I started to tear up was we were having lunch yesterday before I went to the airport. And she got up from the table to go order something. And then I started to cry. But by the time she got back to the table, I was fine.
How could you, like, just
because Pam,
all of a sudden become fine?
I don't know. Well, I wasn't. Maybe I wasn't fine emotionally. That's the, you know, that's been the knock on me for years. But I was. I had stopped the tears. So I think she saw that there may have been an episode while she wasn't at the table. But as long as it wasn't continuing when she sat down, she was okay with that. But we go to New York, and if you've moved your children a long way, it is logistically it's kind of a nightmare. Because some of the stuff, you know, Molly was able to take some clothes and her computer, the essentials, and then, you know, whatever she needs, to, her work clothes and some things. So we had like three suitcases for her, and we landed in Newark. And if you've never been to New York, the airports are not, thank God for Chicago's airports, because they are close to the city. You know, you can get to O'Hare or Midway fairly easily, whether you're driving or taking public transportation. It's nice. If you're going into New York, you have the choice of LaGuardia, JFK, or Newark. And they're all kind of a hassle because they're far flung from Manhattan and other points. And we ended up, we flew Southwest, and we went into Newark, which is in New Jersey, Cody, because I know you're not good with geography. So it's in New Jersey. Stopped off at the Bada Bing, had a drink with Tony and the other Sopranos, and then we headed in. But you either have to take a train and then the subway, or you have to take a bus. And you know, see, I'm going to preface my entire weekend stories with you know how much I hate public transportation, and yet I was a slave to public transportation for 3 days. So you can imagine what was going through my head. So I'm looking at how we're going to get there, and I had said to Molly, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll take the train. First, you get on like a people mover at the airport, and it takes you from the terminal.
A conveyor belt?
Kind of a conveyor belt. You get in a conveyor belt with cars on it, like pods, and you get in, they call it the air train or whatever. I don't know what they call it. It's New Jersey. It all smells like industrial swamp.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So, yeah, listen, nobody in New Jersey cares if I say it because it's true. So is it mean if it's true? I don't think so. So we get into you take that to the New York or the New Jersey Transit train station. You take the train into Manhattan to Penn Station. Then you get on a subway and you take the subway to Brooklyn. That was going to be the plan. I don't know if you've been to it seems like now I've been on Chicago subways and they're deep underground. It seems like the subway stairs in New York are much deeper because there's like 180,000 lines. There's every train. So the plan is then you're supposed to carry your suitcases down into the subway. Anyway. I decide, no, we can't do it that way. Molly says, I had one suitcase and a backpack, and it was really hard getting through the subway and getting on the trains. So is there another way we could do it? We end up, I book a minivan to come and pick us up, and they're going to drive us right to the hotel. So it works out nice, because Molly's like, oh, is it going to be one of those guys standing in the terminal with a sign with our name on it? And I said, no, I'm not taking you by limo. I got a transfer, a minivan to come and get us. Nothing fancy. Turns out the guy pulls up in a black Chevy Suburban with our name in the window. So Molly was like, oh, look, our name's in the car. I'm like, yeah, we're big shots. Big shots trying to get to Brooklyn. So I'll tell you about the rest of our adventures. And we had many adventures in New York. And I will clear up some misconceptions about New Yorkers that I firmly held until this last couple days. Yes, it's extraordinary. We'll talk about that on the other side of the news. The news happens right after this on WGN.
I'm Pam Jones in the WGN radio newsroom, and this is the stuff that matters on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, Pam and Jones You're changing your name?
You know, I have an identity crisis here. You know, I...
That's fine. Listen, you do what you got to do.
I just might change my name.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I've been thinking about it.
Well, let me know so that I don't introduce you the wrong way.
Okay.
I don't want to use the wrong names.
Do you speak Spanish? It's going to be really, really long.
I don't. Oh,
okay.
But the good news is Cody doesn't either. So he will not be able to correct me, which is bueno. Muy bueno.
There you go.
You know what I'm talking about?
All you need to know is bueno and mas.
Sure. And cerveza.
And cerveza,
and
yeah.
Baño. Because another too many cervezas, you need to use the baño.
That's right.
And I need some cambio to pay for my cerveza.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's I get by, Pam. That's the thing about me. I know just enough to get by,
right.
Which was my knock during school. He does just enough to get by.
Look at you now.
Yeah, now
look at you now.
Look at me now. Look at me. Go ahead. Take a peek. You can see me. I don't know if they could see. I don't think they could see us on WGNRadio.com anymore. Because... I don't think so.
Really?
They can see you, but because the cameras are all with you, because the cameras are all at the new place, so they see you, but they don't see me.
Well,
oh,
right,
no, they do. There I am. They can see me. Oh, yeah. That's the tragedy, that they can't see me. All right, so somebody texted in. We were talking about moving your children to a faraway city as I moved my daughter to New York this weekend, and somebody said, why'd she move? Mine is moving first year to college to Los Angeles in 2.5 months and not looking forward to it. My daughter moved for a job. She graduated from college a few weeks ago and is now started. Tomorrow, she will start work in the Chrysler Building, an iconic building in Manhattan. So she will start work there, and that's why I took her. Somebody else said I should have rented a car. There was no chance I was renting a car to drive into Brooklyn and then into Manhattan. And I'm glad I didn't because, one, first of all, there's nowhere to park in New York. It's like coming into the city here. There's nowhere to park. And New York drivers don't play. They are serious. So it'll take me. Now, next time I go to take the rest of her stuff when she moves into a permanent place, I'm going to have to drive. And I'm not looking forward to it. But I've driven in sketchy, hard conditions before. I drove all over New Orleans, and those drivers are horrible. I've driven all over the country. Drivers are nuts. But that's why I didn't drive. So we get to Brooklyn. We do what all people do the first few minutes they're in New York. We went and had a slice. We found her apartment, dropped off the bags, and then we were hungry. Let's go find something to eat. So we started walking down the street, and that's one cool thing about New York is there are these bodegas, these little deli stores on the corners. They all have sandwich counters and all this, but we wander into a place and we get a slice and, just little differences. You know, out here, if you order something, people will say, is this for here or to go? New York, it's you staying or going? Well, I'm going or I'm staying. That's what you do. Now, here are the misconceptions. One is that everybody in New York is rude. We hear that all the time. I've believed it my entire life. I don't know where it came from because I know some people from New York, and those people were not mean. But I think we get the overall impression from watching TV and film that people in New York are mean. Let me preface all these stories by saying I still prefer Chicago, hands down, 100%, no doubt about it. But everybody I asked for directions, which mortified Molly, but I had to. I'm a guy who believes if you're going to get lost, you're going to ask for directions. And I don't care. Nobody, New York has millions and millions of people. You think they're going to pay attention to one goofball going, excuse me, is Penn Station this way? No, they're not going to, I wasn't walking around like a complete tool. I didn't look 900%, which is mathematically impossible. I didn't look like a complete tourist, but every once in a while I would have to ask for directions. Everybody I asked, whether it was somebody on the street, and I didn't ask random citizens. Because one, you never know if they're a tourist. Two, a lot of New Yorkers have their, and Chicagoans too, everybody's got their earbuds in. They're all walking around minding their own business. So I would ask either people who worked at the subway, MTA employees, or I saw people who were working on the street. I would ask them. I asked a couple police officers for directions. There were a lot of public servants and people employed in the public sector that I asked for directions, and every one of them could not have been more gracious. It was wonderful. I asked a couple people, they didn't get into long conversations with me, but nobody told me to go screw. So that was, I took as a bonus. I asked a question. I got an answer. That was it. And I always thanked people. And I think that throws a lot of people in New York off when you thank them. They looked a little quizzical at me because I had said thank you, and I made eye contact. Now, see, I don't go out in public much here. You know, I don't wander the streets. That's not my look. You commute on public transportation. Do people look at people, Cody? Do they make eye contact? You don't make eye contact?
Never.
All right. That's a good thing. Because I made eye contact with a couple people, and it was almost like we were in the animal kingdom. And they began, it was seen as, I think, a sign of aggression when I actually looked at them.
You know, one of the first times I visited Chicago when my good friend John went to school at University of Chicago.
Is that Icebag John?
Icebag John. Yeah. Right. He was at University of Chicago, and, you know, I grew up in Rockford. I'd been here plenty of times. But
sure.
I didn't spend a lot of time in the city. I'm visiting. We're walking around the sidewalk, and I said something like, what do you do when there's so many people? Do you look at them? Do you not look at them? And he just said, never make eye contact.
See, and I make eye contact all the time with people.
Yeah, I think
creepy. Prolonged eye contact. So it's not the passing glance where you go, hey, how are you? It's the, oh my God, that guy might want to kill me. That's how I avoid any sort of conflict.
That's why
is crazy.
That's what you're gonna miss about this place the most.
Yeah, making crazy eye contact with people outside the studio. Or the people who think they're gonna come up and distract me by doing like breakdance moves. Like, dude, I've seen it all before. Mm. And literally, I've seen it all before.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of nudity. But so that's the one, that everybody in New York is rude. That is not the case. I did get a little, it was funny. So we're in the Chrysler Building because I wanted to see where Molly was going to work. So we took the subway from her apartment to see how long her commute would be. And it was a very easy commute, one train. You get off at Grand Central Station, and her building is right next door across Lexington Avenue, the Chrysler Building. So we're in there, and I didn't know, because it has such a beautiful top on it, I thought there might be an observation deck at the Chrysler Building. So I walked over to an older gentleman who was the security guard, and he was, you know, when I say older, he was older than me. I'm guessing mid-60s. And I said, excuse me, is there an observation deck? Nah, there's only three observation decks in the city, Empire State Building, World Trade Center, and one other place. I don't remember. He told me Brian can't remember. Character guy knew what it was. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I said, my daughter starts work in this building on Monday. Yeah, good for her. I was like, oh, I just was going to see. So then I start to walk away, and he pulls me back in with conversation, telling me how happy he is as a security guy that there is no observation deck because you need all this other stuff. And I was like, whoa, I got a vibe that he was pushing me away. And then he really just needed like a verbal hug. He needed to share. And so I shared with him, and we had a verbal hug, and that was that. The other misconception that we have here is that everybody in New York is moving at a million miles an hour, right? You think everybody, oh man, everywhere you go, people are walking fast, they're talking fast, they're not messing around. Untrue. Now, I don't know. Again, I can't identify New Yorkers from tourists. Some you can. Some you can, but others you cannot. And so there were a lot of people in New York who dawdled. They dawdled on the sidewalk. They dawdled in the subway. They dawdled on the stairs in the subway. And I'm not talking about Times Square, where you know 90% of the human beings in Times Square are tourists. The other 10% are really freaky people in character costumes. Remind me. Don't let me forget the people in the character costumes. I have all my notes, but that was the most disconcerting thing of all. But people just walk slow. And I loved the, because you know I walk fast. I love to walk fast. Molly was complaining that she couldn't keep up with me. I'm on the move, man. So I thought New York is going to be my place. I'm going to be able to move as quickly as possible. I'm just going to be walking. No such luck. I get behind people who are just, you know. And it's not people who are looking up or taking pictures. Just people who look like they belong there, and yet they were going very, very slow. So I don't know. Those were my two misconceptions. All people in New York are not rude. And everybody in New York is not in a huge hurry. A lot of people are. Some are not. We took the subway a lot, but we took a couple Ubers. I noticed the Uber drivers were all pretty well dressed. Like two of them had sport coats on. Most were not chatty. Now, the last Uber we took yesterday, the guy was very, very chatty in a nice way. Asked us if we were excited about the World Cup. And I felt bad bursting his bubble and saying, well, I don't really follow soccer too closely. But it's exciting. And, you know, we were, and so I throw in, well, we were in Madrid and we went to Real Madrid's stadium, and it amazed me how huge it was and how much we don't as a country embrace soccer. So then he was off to the races, man. We had big conversation about soccer and the youth. And then we talked about LeBron and talked about, you know, then he finally said, oh, are you from New York? And no, my daughter's moving here. Oh, that's terrific, blah, blah, blah. This is a good neighborhood you're in. Don't go 2 miles south. That you don't want to get caught over there. But if you go north from here, everything is great. And, you know, good luck and welcome to New York. It's really nice to meet you. I was like, wow. I'm like, you're not from here either, are you? Come on.
How many people are from there?
I don't think anybody.
Right.
Maybe some, but a lot are not. Most are not. But, yeah, they're not chatty. But this one Uber guy was very chatty. Now, you made a face when I said they were dressed up. Are you seeing that here, too?
No, I had seen that in New York. The couple times I've been, I'll notice I've been driven around by Uber drivers in, like, suits.
Yeah. Good. But
I guess.
You know.
It's fine.
No, I think it's nice. It adds a little professionalism to the whole thing. Because I'm not a big fan of anything, am I?
Yeah.
The more I talk, the more I realize I'm not a fan of anything.
Well, here in Chicago, the big trend with Uber drivers is to stock amenities.
Oh.
Oh, we've got 18 different charger cables. You know? Oh, yeah. They'll have, like, spider charger cables. So you need to charge your phone? I got 18 things. Oh, there's 7 bottles of water in the back. You want a bottle of water? Oh, here's 4 different packs of gum. I mean, it's like a bathroom attendant.
Yeah.
But, like, kind of amped up. And, I mean, they're great. They probably get good tips. They always get 5 stars.
Yeah.
But it almost makes me feel... I never really, like, I'm not going to take a bottle of water. Like, that's...
No,
that's... I don't do that personally. I think it's great when they do it, but that's... I've noticed that's kind of a trend.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't... Well, I'll be honest. Not in the Ubers I've taken around here.
Yeah. Not a lot, but I noticed there was a few-month stretch where it felt like every Uber I took had that.
Well, I know Uber pushes that on their partners. Wink, wink. The drivers, they're slaves. If you want to improve your ratings, if you want to get, and this was pre-tipping, have some cables, offer somebody a drink, I'm taking them 6 blocks. How dehydrated are you? And really, you know, if I pick you up in a clean car and say, hi, where are you going? Do you have a preference on what's on the radio? And then drive you the 6 blocks? If you don't give me 5 stars, you're a jerk. All right? Because there's no reason... For not giving somebody a good rating if they treat you that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's the guys who take different routes and the guys who, disregard the navigation system and the guys who think they know better or the guys whose car smells like patchouli oil and vomit. And you get in a horrible, dirty car. Just, ugh. Speaking of horrible and dirty, I will tell you which is the new morning team when we move. No, that's not true. It's Steve Cochran, always in the morning. But... We have something else that was horrible and dirty, and I will share that with you after this, WGN. I was talking about being in New York and seeing something dirty and disgusting. If you've never been to Times Square, I had not. I wanted to see Times Square. I think most people who go to New York want to see Times Square. Spend as little time as you can in Times Square, because it is nothing but a horror show of crowds and people trying to, you know, it's just stores, and it's like a big outdoor mall. You know, but one of the things they have in Times Square, as they do on Hollywood Boulevard in California, is people in costumes taking pictures. Now, thankfully my daughter is now 21 and does not want to take a picture with a matted Elmo. But there are these costumes that the performers wear are the most horrific things you've ever seen in your life. They're dirty and they're just generic. They just look awful. I saw an Ilsa, I saw a Batman, I saw a Statue of Liberty on stilts. And then, this was the most horrifying thing of all. Walking down the sidewalk, I saw 4 women, short, kind of heavy-set women, in Minnie Mouse costumes. How did I know they were short, heavy-set women? Because they had the heads kind of pulled off and cocked back. So as if they were wearing a hat. And I'm thinking to myself... If you're trying to, and I know at Disney they don't do that. I know Minnie Mouse never pulls her head off and walks through Tomorrowland just, smoking a cigarette going, man, I can't wait to get to the locker room. But these women, the Minnie Mouse Brigade, they had no problem just strolling down Times Square with their heads kind of cocked weird, and the rest of their Minnie Mouse bodies just barely fitting in. It was just so gross. So that was one of the things I'm glad I saw, because I never have to see it again. Somebody texted in about misconceptions that we were talking about New Yorkers. I mentioned that they aren't all in a hurry and they're not all rude. From the 414, the other misconception is everyone in New York is on the take. I actually tried to tip a concierge at a hotel and he refused to take it. I also had one of those guys who sells tours tell us not to buy the more expensive package because we wouldn't have time to get it all done. So there are, you know what, there's good people everywhere. We're going to say that. There were the people, you know, that every time we were on the subway, somebody got on the car and would make the big announcement. I don't know if that happens here because, as I said, I try to stay away from public transportation as much as possible. Who would get on the subway, ladies and gentlemen, friends, I'm just trying. I don't mean to bother you. And I'm thinking, you've already failed at that because you've already bothered us. I'm just trying to get a little money for this or that. And nobody in New York moves. They don't turn their head. They're just like, okay, whatever. And then they move to the next car, make the same speech. So that was those were the only people I saw in that any big city, except yesterday in Newark at the airport. There was a grown man having a full-on conversation with a raccoon puppet. He was sitting in the terminal waiting for his plane, and this guy was in his mid-20s, and he had a raccoon puppet on his hand, and he was sitting the next row, and I saw him. He just kept talking and having a full conversation with this raccoon puppet, and I couldn't tell what he was. I didn't know if it was an emotional support puppet, because those are big now, the emotional support animals. I didn't know if he was a ventriloquist, a children's entertainer, or just a lunatic. But he could not stop talking to this raccoon puppet. I don't know if the puppet was talking back, but he was all up on this raccoon puppet. So it was overall a good time. When I said goodbye, I did not cry. Molly got very emotional and basically threw me out of her apartment, Cody. I told her I had to leave about 2 o'clock because I was taking the subway and the train back to Newark, which was an adventure. Carrying my suitcase. But she said, are you leaving? As she's crying, are you leaving? I said, yeah. She goes, can you just go? Because I'm sad. I said, oh, okay. And then I stayed for another 10 minutes. All right, we were talking about Ubers and offering many services, which seems over the top. But Matt is an Uber driver. He wants to weigh in. Hi, Matt.
Hello, King Brian. And don't tell John I said that.
Yeah, please don't. I think that's trademarked. I can't even acknowledge that you're speaking to me now. But speak to Cody, okay, and I'll just listen.
Well, Cody, I give out free comic books to my passengers. I play games with my passengers. I give them free toys.
All right, wait, I'm back in. What are you driving the Wienermobile? What's going on with you?
No, I go to Whole Foods. I purchase a fresh-made pizza that I have them make there at that moment, and then I give free pizza to my passengers. I give each person a slice who wants one.
Really? What kind of vehicle are you driving that has comic books? You got comic books, you got toys, you got pizza. What are you driving, like a Civic? What do you got? What are you driving?
I am driving a BMW X1.
Wow. All right, so you got a nice car. I'm going to be happy if your car pulls up to pick me up, because it's a nice car. It's not some Honda with velour seats that are stained from God knows what sort of fluid. So I'm going to go, oh, look at this. This is Matt's coming in. He's got me. This is a nice car. And what have you seen, your tips increase? Does it make that big a difference, or are you just, I mean, obviously you're doing it because you're a nice guy, but it's business too. Are you seeing the return on investment?
I am definitely seeing the return on the investment, and I can write it off at the end of the year.
Well, that's true too. So people like this. Now, Cody, you've been in a lot of Ubers. You're getting Matt's BMW. You won't take water normally. Are you going to take some fresh hot pizza, a comic book, and perhaps a toy?
Oh, I'm taking fresh hot pizza and a comic book.
What about are there action figures, Matt? What kind of toy are we looking at?
No, what I do, I go and grab those little, like, blind boxes, like the little cheap ones, like the little Transformer ones, and I'll play, like, music trivia with them, and if they get 3 out of 5 right, I'll give them a prize.
Wow. I wish. Now, where do you drive? All over the city? Are there neighborhoods that you're in?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
I live in Wrigleyville, but I'm in the city. I'm in the suburbs. I just drove a guy from Wrigley to, Lyle. Today.
Oh, my goodness. So, how many pizzas did he eat?
I did not have any pizza with me at that point. No, I'm sorry.
That's all right. As long as you're seeing a return on it, it sounds very pleasant. And if I ever do take an Uber, I hope I get you, Matt. It sounds terrific.
Yes, I hope I get you too. And if Brian gets in the car, he gets. I'll cut the ride short just so he'll get a couple miles for free.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, Matt. Have a good afternoon. That's crazy. That's a lot of work. All right. Speaking of a lot of work, Pam wants to work, so we're going to let her. Do we have a break, Cody the G? Yeah, we got to do this, and then it's news time on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. We're here till 7. After 6 o'clock, our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center will be here. Rory Makeham will be performing in studio, and we'll be talking about Irish Fest. And if you are a redhead, know a redhead, we have some big news for you. This is the final show from the Allstate Showcase Studio for us. The other shows will continue this week, but then we will be over at the new place across the river. The radio station is still the radio station. We're just in a different place, but this particular room holds a certain sort of magic for me and for a lot of the people here at WGN because it really connects us to the city. And another place that connects to the city and all around the country, Mastro's Restaurant, is here to help us send things off in a big, big way. I'll introduce the guys in a minute because they are setting up quite a spread. Our good friend Victoria Kent, who is a crack public relations professional, reached out to me a couple weeks ago and said, "Hey, it's your last show. Do you want to do it up big?" And I was like, yeah, thanks for the offer. And then she reached out to Mastro's, and Mastro's is here. And I don't know what's going on. I see the most unbelievable food is being laid out. There's a man peeling oranges who is going to perhaps have some drinks. Marco Silva is the assistant general manager, and Ronnie Koshaba is the manager of Mastro's, and he's the one with the peeler. So I can only imagine the lovely things that are about to happen for us. Two other guests in the studio who we're not expecting to talk, but because we have a couple minutes, I want to say hello to them. And they are food related. If you've been listening to the show since the beginning when we were on in the overnights, whether we were in the back or up here, CB and Double D are in fact the Insatiable Insomniacs. They used to join us once a month or more frequently, and their deal was they would go out. You guys never went anywhere quite as fancy as Mastro's, did you?
For the most part, no.
No. Hold on. There
There's
you
one
go.
Place, but no, I am. My curiosity is piqued.
Yeah, because you guys would go. The deal was you would go to places that were open all night.
All night.
And so you would eat there at like 1, 2 in the morning, and then you would come right in, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, you would on Sunday mornings, you would talk to me. Then Dave got married and had a kid and became responsible, and then then we weren't doing overnights anymore. So it's hard to be Insatiable Insomniacs in the middle of the day. Then you're just guys going to eat. So, what do you remember about coming now that we won't be down here?
That's what our new segment should be.
Just guys going out to eat.
Guys going out to eat.
Guys going out to eat. Maybe.
Guys going out to eat.
Listen, we'll take it over to the new place.
That's what we do.
So, you guys have been coming here to this building for 11 years since I started doing overnights. What, as you come here for your last time, any thoughts?
Man, we were in the lobby and we were just looking at all the different writings on the wall, the quotes.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, the building is absolutely. Truly beautiful.
I'm going to use the term majestic lobby.
It is a majestic lobby, and I don't think the new developers can't touch it because it does have historic landmark status.
That's good to hear.
So this part of the building, they can't tear it down. They'll turn this. I think we're sitting in a future mattress store. I don't know what's going to be here. Something's going to be in this particular spot. I guarantee it won't be a guy eyeing some giant Fred Flintstone like bones of meat and delicious drinks and everything else from Mastro's. It'll be somebody selling you something, and then above us will be condominiums, and hopefully they fix the pipes before the new condos. Because as much as I love this building, it's old. It's 92 years old, and there's it has 92 year old bones, and so they're good bones, but they need a little upkeep. But it is one of those things. Now you guys have changed locations for jobs, or you've changed jobs, or your job has changed places. It's a strange feeling.
That's
to
a
go
polite way of
else.
Saying I'm a bum.
Well, you can't hold a job.
Yeah,
that was what I was trying to say up front, but that's all right. So you're coming here. Do you have a fond remembrance of one of your visits here to the tower?
I do. I absolutely do. Okay, so we went to Chinatown on one of our visits, and we were doing the small plates. What do they call that again?
Dim sum.
Thank you. Yeah. Wait, did he just call me a...
Wow, nice setup for a bad joke. Go ahead.
And we got, I'll never forget, we got the chicken feet.
Yeah.
And we brought them back here, and we gave them to you, and when you ate them, I swear, I looked across the desk and all I saw was your foot, your shoe, up in the air.
Yeah.
Because you had taken a bite of a chicken foot and thought it was so gross.
It was the most horrible thing I've ever put in my mouth.
But you physically fell off the chair.
Yes.
And all I saw was a foot in the air. And all I kept thinking was, oh, my God, WGN Radio is up to Chris and Double D to pilot the ship.
You killed me at that point.
Yeah.
It was horrifying.
That was an amazing, amazing moment.
How about you, Dave?
I remember when they were filming the Transformers right out here.
Yeah.
And we were in here that week, overnight, right. Obviously. And I remember sneaking in here just to get a look at the set. And that was really cool.
Yeah. There was stuff all over the street. Yeah.
But there was nobody on the street. It was just completely dead. And here we are downtown. And it's dead. And there's rubble all over the place. And film equipment everywhere and all that. It was really cool.
It is one of those places where those kind of things happen all the time, and you never know who's going to walk by on the street. You never know what's going to happen when you're here in the overnight. You never know who's going to drop by.
And it's also a view of Chicago that you don't get from any other perspective.
No.
Nowhere else but this room can you see this perspective of Michigan Avenue at this level, of people walking by like that. It's phenomenal. It's great.
It is very cool. All right. Listen, you guys are staying. I'm very happy that you are here. The Insatiable Insomniacs coming in for the final time on WGN. Let's take a real quick break, and then things seem to be all set up. So now Marco Silva and Ronnie Koshaba from Mastros, we will talk to them and find out what's going on as we continue saying goodbye to the Showcase studio and just having some fun on a Sunday here on WGN. There is a lot happening in the Allstate Showcase studio, and for us it is the last time that a lot will be happening in the Allstate Showcase studio. But we're going out in style, and I got to say a thank you again to Victoria Kent, who is a wonderful, wonderful public relations specialist here in Chicago, and the folks from Mastros. We have Marco Silva, who is the assistant general manager, and Ronnie Koshaba, who is the beverage manager. Welcome, gentlemen. You have finally, first of all, thank you for dressing up. Most guests don't come in all suited up, but Mastros is a high-class joint, so they sent you guys. You look spectacular.
Thanks.
You look spectacular. You are very welcome, and thank you for coming. This is your break? Yeah, because you've got dinner service tonight. Yeah. Mastros, if you don't know, 520 North Dearborn in Chicago. They're open Sunday through Thursday for dinner, 5 to 11, Friday, Saturday, 5 to midnight. You go to mastrosrestaurants.com for all the information and to make reservations. Marco, give us a little background for those who haven't been, and get right up on their on the microphone there. Give us a little background on Mastros for the uninitiated.
So Mastros was founded in 1999 out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Currently we have 15 locations all around the country, several on the West Coast, Arizona. We just opened Houston. Opening Fort Lauderdale, and we're in New York, we're in Vegas, a lot of locations.
What do you think the key is to Mastros' success?
I think staying with what we do. You know, our whole motto is making guests for life, and we really, our service goes out above and beyond to make sure that happens.
And that's the key. If somebody's going out for a big night out, it's whether it's something they do all the time or whether this is a special occasion, you want to come in and feel like you're being taken care of, and you don't need somebody fawning all over you, but attention to service is the first thing. The food and the beverage, you have to have that. Everybody knows that. But service is key, whether it's the person greeting you at the door or the bus person, the server, whoever it is, you got to be top of the line.
Yeah, we treat guests as if they were guests in our homes.
Nice. And how long a process when you're hiring people to work for you? Is it are you looking for people who have been in the service industry for a while, right? This is not the first job for somebody who's like, I think I could be a server.
No, experience is key.
Experience is very key. How long have you been with the company, Marco?
Just under 2 years.
Under 2 years. Very good. Ronnie, how about you? How long have you been with Mastros?
So I started with Mastros in 2004. I did about 4 years out there on the West Coast, and then came out here and worked with them for the past 4 years here.
Nice.
Had a little break in between.
And did you come out here as the beverage manager, or did you evolve into that role?
I did evolve into that role. I'm from Chicago. I was out on the West Coast about over a decade ago, hanging out with Mastros and those good people out there, and then came back here and rejoined that family as a server.
Okay.
And then moved into a managerial role.
We all know any restaurant is going to be judged by their food first and foremost, and their service secondary. But in this day and age, you have to have a really good cocktail program. You can't just, well, we've got some scotch or rum or something back there. What goes into crafting what you guys have for your your beverage services at Mastros?
Well, you know, similar to our food situation, you know, you want to start with a great quality product. And then you want to put the respect into it and develop that product and create it into what it is, what you see on the plate there, and then what you see in the glass also. We're famous for our Cosmos that we do with dry ice with a smoky presentation.
Oh, nice.
And then we do we use products like Michter's that we have in our old fashioned here today. Michter's is a whiskey company that's established pre-Revolutionary War, 1753, and they're still putting out incredible whiskey.
Wow.
We use their small batch bourbon in this particular old fashioned today that we brought you with some Luxardo cherries, higher end quality cherries, Block Ice, Regan's Orange Bitters, Angostura Bitters. And then a swath of fresh orange.
Ooh. Well, since you've been talking about the old-fashioned, you did bring one in. And it's
right.
I can't have one sitting here too long without having a sip. Because I love an old-fashioned. That is... Oh, man. I'll be drinking that.
Save some for me, Brian, really.
Listen, you're three blocks away now, Pam. I bet you wish they had left the newsroom here, don't you?
We'll travel for alcohol,
okay.
Just saying.
Well, you know where I'm at. So we're going to do that. We've got... you also brought, because it is... so we'll talk about beverages. Marco, we're going to get to all this food. And you're going to explain, because the plates are unbelievable. But I see you starting to...
This is your last show. We brought you over a bottle of Krug champagne. I like to call this the Aston Martin of the champagne world. Certainly the best champagne.
Wow.
We consider the best champagne coming out of Reims, France.
This is Cody. I don't know if we're... Well, thankfully, we'll have Rory in for the 6 o'clock. He can, you know, sing some songs, and you can interview the guys from the Heritage Center, because I don't know if I'm going to make it. So now...
We got half glass here.
Well, Ronnie, we'll go back to the beverages. What trends? Because that seems to be the thing. Every year you hear, oh, these are the cocktails that you must have, and restaurants are saying these are, you know, you guys specialize in your old fashions and your Cosmos with the dry ice. What do you see as the next trend, and how tough is it to not only see what the current trend is, but to predict? Okay, you know, we're not a bar, but we have to have great cocktails. What's going to be the next thing that our customers are going to be asking for?
You know, you got to stay with the trends. You got to be aware of what's going on around you and in your specific markets. There's, you know, Mastros now. We have 15 Mastros in markets all across the country. So, what's happening here is not necessarily what's happening in other places. Our old fashioned here. You know, old fashions used to be made with like the granulated sugar and you muddle the orange and the maraschino cherry.
Yeah.
We changed all that from the Chicago market. Chicago market transformed that drink for all of our Mastros. So we saw that amazing places like Sable and Three Dots and a Dash and places like that using the bitters instead of muddling oranges and cherries and using higher end quality products. And you learn from that. You see that. You see the demand. You see that it's a better product. It's a better situation. And you move with that, and then it moves throughout all the company.
And when you say, all right, you developed that here, and things are going well, is it a challenge to say to the rest of the rest of the company, hey, look, we think this is a better option, it's a better drink for our customers, and somebody in Arizona goes, yeah, what do you guys know? We're in Arizona. Or is everybody kind of on the same page all the time?
Well, we're not always on the same page, that's for sure, but... we are a pretty tight-knit family. The group that's putting together the cocktails for the company, I go to them with something, with an idea. They like it or they don't like it. We have a conversation about it, and it's very open in that way. And I can suggest something, and then we'll work on it together, and then that can spread throughout the company.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So what are you foreseeing as the next trend in cocktails?
You know, we've been seeing an increase in the demand for tequilas and mezcals.
Okay.
And people wanted to kind of like, you know, a few years ago it was gin. But with that, we created a Patron old fashioned. We do a Roca Patron, which is a Patron that they make in kind of an older style, a traditional style.
Okay.
And we take that Reposado and then we do it in a similar way that we do these old fashions, where we do a Mole bitters and also some... a little touch of simple syrup.
And you said you brought me a sample of that? Is that what you just said?
We, if you're three blocks away, you're not too far.
Yeah, you
do. Oh, yeah, we can I'm coming.
You're doing your news at 5:30. That's your last report, right?
I will be out of this chair at 5:34.
Then, you know where we are. Come over. We're not. I'm here till 7, so we're not packing up and taking off. And, you know, Roger comes in at 5:30, so you're welcome to come. You still have a key here, right?
Why, thank you. Yes, I do.
All right, well, then just, you know. I'll try to get to the news on time.
No, that's okay.
And then, do your news. Just give them the stuff that matters. That's your catchphrase, right? Just give them the stuff that matters, and then get over here and enjoy some of the stuff that matters. We got to talk to Marco about this incredible food. But one last question for you, Ronnie, because I lived in California for a while, and you said you were out there working for Mastro's. What do you see the biggest difference between West Coast when it comes to drinking and Chicago? Because Chicago loves to drink.
Bourbon.
Is bourbon
the thing here?
I mean, we're definitely a whiskey town, and they can do some drinking on the West Coast, but man, they're ages behind us.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Hands down.
Are they clean living out there?
Too much clean living, Marco. That's what I say. Why live clean when you can enjoy yourself? You have to indulge yourself once in a while. Real quick, we're gonna talk more in depth about the food at Mastro's, which is obviously that's the calling card. But what did you bring with us today?
We have a 30-ounce tomahawk Wagyu ribeye from Australia. We have some Nixky's bacon, maple glazed bacon.
Oh my goodness!
We have oregano. We have what do I have over there? Seabass oregano. We also brought some lobster mashed potatoes, some potato gnocchi, and our famous butter cake.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's a small order.
Pam, I've changed my mind. Take a little extra time on the news. We have some things. There will be plenty of leftovers, but you're welcome to come. But we need a couple extra minutes. Our friends from Mastro's are here to help us say goodbye to the Allstate Showcase Studio. General Manager or Assistant General Manager Marco Silva is here, along with a Beverage Manager Ronnie Koshaba. We have lovely things. Go to mastrosrestaurants.com to make your reservations. If you are traveling and you're thinking, I've got a business meeting in Arizona or California, I want to go somewhere nice with my clients or with my family, go to mastrosrestaurants.com and make your reservation for wherever you are going to be. Here in Chicago, they're, of course, at 520 North Dearborn. You can make your reservations and go. We are going to enjoy some fine Mastro's things, but we first must do this, and then we have to give it to Pam to do the news, who I'm going to wait. We're going to time this one. Cody, I'm putting the over-under at a minute six for her newscast. What do you say? You going over or under?
Both.
That's not how it works.
Wow.
That's not how it works, Cody. Not how it works.
I thought you guys were my friends.
We are your friends. We think you're going to move fast because you want to get over here.
But I just got to say, it's worth it. This is one of the smoothest old fashions I've ever had.
Yeah. I'm planning on being hammered by the time we come back. And we also have this Krug champagne. So really, Pam, leisurely pace. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. It is a cult of personality here in the Allstate Showcase Studio for our final broadcast, and helping us say goodbye to the Allstate Showcase Studio are our friends from Mastro's. Pardon me, got a little lobster mashed potato caught in the throat. That's all right. Marco Silva is the assistant general manager of Mastro's, and Ronnie Koshaba is the beverage manager. And they have come here today, not only bearing what Marco described as the Alfa Romeo of champagne. The Aston Martin of champagne. Listen, if it's not a Toyota Camry, I don't know what, I know that's some sort of fancy car. It's top of the line. So we are toasting the Allstate Showcase Studio. Victoria Kent, the wonderful public relations professional, has been bringing people to the show for a long time, and she set this up, so we thank her very much for helping us say goodbye. All right, we gave kind of the history of Mastro's, and mastrosrestaurants.com is the website. You can follow Mastro's on Facebook as well. It's Mastro's Restaurants Chicago is the local tag for that. So we talked about service being a key to a restaurant being a success, and a success like Mastro's, where you're expanding to all these markets. We've talked about the lovely beverages that Ronnie has overseen and evolution of beverages from the Chicago market. But let's talk about the food, because when you go out to dinner, that's really what you want. I'm going to have a drink, but I'm coming to eat. Now, you have brought, as you mentioned, I'll let you tell them again because I'm going to mess it up. Some giant tomahawk Wagyu steak from Australia. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's a ribeye.
It's a ribeye, and it is, I'll just say it's fantastic. And I'm going, people, now the boys are, I don't know why you're being so shy. You are welcome to have some food. And Ronnie was like, oh, it'll be funny. We'll hear everybody eating on the air. I've promised people I will try not to eat on the air because usually I get so caught up in the deliciousness that things go crazy. All right. So, Marco, what makes for people who, you know, we hear that term, Wagyu steak, Wagyu beef. What is it? And usually we associate, didn't we associate that with, like, Japan?
So, in Australia, the cattle isn't from Australia, and it's raised, according to the Japanese way of raising the Wagyu beef, actually not coming from Japan.
Okay, and what is that way?
No hormones. There's fed a specific diet. The beef process. This is their. It's aged 21 days. Wet aged 21 days.
Okay. What's the difference again between wet and dry aging?
Well, dry aging is the meat's taken out and hung and aged. You know, in the raw.
Okay.
And with wet aging, it's a cryovector vacuum under sealed and it's aged in a, I guess, essentially a plastic bag or container.
Okay.
Something that's cryovac.
Keep everything nice. All the juices stay in there, yeah. And everything. Now, when you have a piece of beef like this, you know, a lot of people go to the store. They're looking. Oh, I don't want a lot of fat running through there. That's a mistake because Wagyu beef, you've got that marbling in there that adds the tenderness, right?
The deliciousness. Yes. Yes. You want that.
Yes. You want, if you're not going to have any sort of fat in your meat, why eat?
Exactly.
You know, so this is the tomahawk Wagyu ribeye,
yes,
which is lovely. And I do, you know, I can only imagine what my dogs would do to that bone. Do people leave the bone or do people take the bone? They do both.
They sit there and eat the bone.
They just gnaw on it. Do they ever try to break it open and scoop out the marrow?
No, probably at home.
All right, so we've got that now. You called this bacon. And I'm sure that's what it is. It's thick. It's maple coated, and it looks more like a steak or a pork belly than bacon.
We call it steak bacon.
Steak bacon. And what's the deal with this?
Oh, that's right. It's from Nooskies. It's maple glazed. Exactly what it is. It's your belly pork, thick cut.
Okay. And is that a side dish? Is that an appetizer? Is it whatever you want? Is it just candy?
It's an appetizer, but you know, or you could have a piece of this on top of that. A 30-ounce steak, which people have done.
Wow. How many defibrillators on site? are there enough? Because I'm thinking if I go through a 42-ounce ribeye with some steak bacon on top of it, and then I throw in some of these lobster mashed potatoes, there's a good chance I'm sleeping right there.
It happens.
And a couple of these old-fashioneds, I'm taking a nap.
It happens more often than you think.
Is that right? People just start to doze off?
Yeah,
have you ever had buttons pop off the top of somebody's pants?
No.
No. You never. Well, you never know. They could be.
We find the buttons later.
There you go. So the meat, obviously, Chicago, we're known for steaks. We're known for meat. We love that. But everybody wants a good fish option, too, because there's some people who are either trying to eat healthier or they just want something light on a specific night. What's the fish that we have?
It's a sea bass arrigonata. It's a very simple preparation. This is pan-seared. With lemon.
Nice. And it's a nice, thick... Sometimes you get fish at a restaurant, it's just a very thin filet. You don't really get to taste the fish because you just taste whatever it was cooked in.
Yeah.
But this is a nice, thick portion. Very nice. Okay, let's get to the... Now, Ronnie said his favorite thing that we had here was what, Ronnie?
The favorite... Oh, the gnocchi.
The gnocchi, yes. Yeah, now, what's the story with this gnocchi?
Our gnocchi is a hand-rolled potato pasta. We do it in Asiago cream sauce with Alaskan king crab leg meat and shaved black truffle. And we top it off with some seasoned breadcrumb in the broiler. And it's amazing.
It sounds amazing. That I have. It's on my plate. I haven't gotten to it yet. It looks terrific. And then, now, the lobster mashed potatoes. I just had a bite, and it was, this is going to sound strange to say, more lobster than mashed potato. Which I think is a good indicator of what's going into these mashed potatoes.
It's a pound and a quarter live Maine lobster. We steam and deshell. We toss that meat in to cook it with some butter and Old Bay seasoning and charred scallions and pour it over a large portion of garlic roasted mashed potato.
Oh, and that's a side dish.
That's also a side dish.
Not for the faint of heart. To go out to dinner at Mastro's, but it's worth every bite. This is so. Oh, and then there's dessert. Because God forbid you eat a 42-ounce ribeye with some steak bacon, you have some gnocchi and some lobster mashed potatoes, and then you say to yourself, you know what? I still need cake.
The bacon with the butter cake is delicious.
Is that right?
Yes.
Do you use the bacon as the fork to eat the butter cake?
You can. Just cut it up, put a little bit of vanilla ice cream on top of it. It's delicious together.
Cody, that'll be the picture later. Me eating cake with bacon. That's how we're going to end it. Well, literally, that's how we're going to end it. We're going to end the show and me all at the same time. I'm going to go out in a blaze of food glory. It's going to be fantastic. Do you have anything special coming up at Mastro's?
You know, we have Father's Day coming up. We're open from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. doing our regular menu. So right. it's our dinner menu for Father's Day. And then we have an event, a whiskey dinner coming up.
You know, we're doing this particular bourbon, the Michter's small batch bourbon that we use here in our old fashions. We're doing a Michter's dinner on September 20th, cool. If anybody's interested in looking into that.
And that's you pair the Michter's with different different drinks made with the Michter's. How does that work?
Exactly. So we'll do different food and bourbon pairings for that evening, and we'll post those eventually. You follow us on Facebook or on the website.
How important it used to be, just if you worried about the food, the service, and the beverages, everything was fine. But as Marco is the assistant general manager, how important now is it to get into social media, to have people, you know, well, we got to follow us on Facebook. You got to, you know, Instagram with, you know, hashtag Mastro's. And
very important.
Is it because the competition is so stiff? Is it because that's just the way to attract? You know, you have, as you said, you want to create guests for life. So older people, you know, they've been to Mastro's. They love they're going to keep coming back. But you have to get that next generation of customers absolutely. Who are going to say, you know what, I started going to Mastro's when I got my first job in my 20s, and now I'm going with my wife and now with my kids and my grand. So is this the way to build generational customers?
I think across the board, I think not only for us, but for a lot of businesses, yeah, that's where it's going. I mean, everyone's so connected to their phones, or everyone has a hard time being disconnected for whatever reason it is, and that's a whole other thing.
In a city like Chicago, where you know there's tons of great restaurants, besides and all the restaurants at your Cal, everybody's trying for that same market. And you talked about, you know, how you set yourself apart with service and all that, and there's a lot of places that do that. What, without giving away any secrets that I'm sure you want to keep, to, you know, to keep that edge, how do you keep that edge? How do you stay relevant other than like social media and getting out there? What's the secret to longevity? Because you can be really good and then more really good places come in, but you got to keep up in your game.
We have to be consistent. And you go, you know, for us, it's, you know, back to the basics. It's a very simple formula to get to, but be consistent across the board. So everyone's visit's always going to be consistent. They're going to remember what they're going to remember about their visit with us here at Mastro's.
Yeah, and that's the key. You don't want to hit and miss when you're going out to dinner. People go to places that treat them well, that they enjoy the food, they enjoy the drinks, and they feel like they've, you know, everything is worth it.
We set high expectations with our service staff and, you know, with people's experience, and we expect a lot.
Yeah. What's your pet peeve? And you know, because we want to talk to customers, too, because people who go to restaurants, let's be honest, sometimes they can be jerks. They come in, they're either very demanding, they are not understanding of, you know, sometimes things happen. You got, as much as you strive for consistency and great service, and everybody's human, things happen. What's your biggest pet peeve with customers?
People using Yelp as a microphone.
Oh, is that the worst evolution of the restaurant and dining business, that now everybody's a critic, and not even, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion, and if I had a great time there, great. If something was a little off, okay, maybe in the old days I used to tell my friends and they would go, oh, that's too bad. Now suddenly everybody can go on the internet and, you know, whether it's true or not, a restaurant can be really harmed by this kind of stuff.
I think if a guest has an issue or a problem, it should be addressed immediately with management, as opposed to, you know, 4 hours later at 3 a.m.
Right. And you're sitting
after lots of drinks.
Yes. And all of a sudden you're like, and I'll tell you another thing. Yeah. That guy, that Ronnie, his old fashioned was, you know, it was okay, but I don't know. Yeah, that's nuts. If you have a problem with something, talk to somebody. But that, when did you notice that start to shift where people, because I'm old enough to remember if something was wrong, and I'm the kind of guy, if it's got to be really, really egregious for me to say something to ask for the manager. And it's usually after I've paid and I'm on my way out, so it doesn't look like I'm trying to get something for nothing. But I can count on one hand the amount of times I've done that over my dining life. When did it stop being, even when Yelp was first coming out, when did it stop being, I'm going to talk to you one-on-one, to I'm going to leave, and nobody at the restaurant is going to know what happened, and maybe you could have fixed it right then if they had talked to you. When did that evolution or that switch come?
I don't know. I mean, Yelp, I can remember going back in 99 maybe started Yelp, or 2000, yeah. That, you know, that far back.
And that's when people stopped talking to you.
Stop talking, yeah.
And just decided they were going to be critics. Everybody's a critic. The Insomniacs are critics, but they always said they weren't really critics. They were just regular guys. All right, Dave, if Mastro's had been open at 3 in the morning, when you guys used to do it, would you have given them, what was the old rating system?
It was grab a bite or go to bed.
Yeah, would you grab a bite or go to bed?
It's grab a bite. Mm-hmm.
So listen, I know you didn't need it, but now you can put the Insatiable Insomniacs have endorsed you as well. So that's, you know, that's no small feat.
You got that going for you.
Yeah, you got that going for you. So Mastro's, you know, feel free to use it. That's fine. Marco Silva is the assistant general manager for Mastro's, and Ronnie Kashaba is the beverage manager. Guys, this is fantastic. Thank you for everything, for coming in today and helping us send off the Showcase studio in a top-notch way. Victoria Kent, as always, the queen of public relations in Chicago, always hooking us up and taking good care of us. And this was all her idea. So you guys picked the right PR person for you.
Good luck in the new location.
Thank you. We'll see you up there. We'll come in. We'll do a christening or something. Absolutely. A housewarming party. We'll do a nice housewarming party after we've been in there and destroyed it for a little bit. Thank you very much. Mastrosrestaurants.com is the website. You can make your reservations, find all their locations. Follow Mastro's on Facebook at Mastro's Restaurants Chicago. You can get all the details. You'll see the pictures and everything on the website and everything else. Guys, again, thank you so much for all this. You went above and beyond. It was wonderful to have you. Let's take a real quick break, and then there's more. It's WGN. Thanks again to our friends at Mastro's for helping us with an incredible send-off to the Allstate Showcase studio. I hope this truly is the last show. There's some confusion, but you never know. It is for us. Because I'm not doing another show from in here once I told everybody we're done. I'm a man of my word. CB, you know that. Coming up after 6 o'clock, Mike Shevlin from the Irish American Heritage Center. He is the chairman of Irish Fest, which is coming up. We will talk to Mike about that wonderful thing. Jim Stoker from Redhead Days Chicago will be here. And the incomparable Rory Makeham will be performing some music all in advance of Irish Fest, which comes up in less than a month. Very, very exciting. So, speaking of things that are very, very exciting, if you have not already signed up to go to England with me, you are missing out. And I'm talking to you, Chris. You are missing out. It's going to be a wonderful tour because I, along with WGN listeners, will be exploring England's treasures. That's right. We leave October 11th from Chicago. We go to London. We spend 10 days wandering about the English countryside. We stay in London, we stay in Oxford, Salisbury, Stratford-upon-Avon, and then two more nights in London. You get breakfast every day, you get, including the day we arrive, you get 4 3-course dinners. We're going to go on a tour of London, we're going to go to Stonehenge, we're going to go to the Roman Baths, Shakespeare's birthplace, Gloucester Brewing, I'm going to have to really learn to pronounce that before we get there. Bletchley Park, something like that, and the Cotswolds. It is going to be wonderful, wonderful. Now, last time I spoke to Steve, which was about a week ago, there were only 5 spots left. Those could be gone. I don't know. Maybe I'm selling a trip that doesn't exist. And yet I don't think I am. There may be a couple seats left. But the point is, you really need to get your tickets now. It's going to be wonderful. My wife is coming, so you know I can't act badly. She will keep me in line. I promise not to curse at any bobbies. I will try not to make fun of the people who are going in the phone booths pretending they're Doctor Who. Anything you want to do in London, you are welcome to do. And the rest of the English countryside. So how do you go to England with me? You email Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com, or you pick up your telephonic device and you call 847-606-6065. That's 847-606-6065, and you will come with me to England October 11th for 10 days. And here's another little cool thing, as if all the things I said so far weren't cool enough. Steve is leading a tour the week before or 10 days before we are there, and our arrival overlaps with his departure. So we will be able to share a meal with Steve and his group as well. It's going to be uncommonly good fun, chap.
Cheerio.
Oh, yes. I'll probably wear a monocle most of the time. I don't know why I want to dress like Mr. Peanut when I'm in England. And yet, there's something about it that says, yes, I do need to dress like Mr. Peanut. Now, I am also waiting because in about 38 seconds, I expect to see Pam running down Michigan Avenue. Perhaps wearing a bib, perhaps Roger, I know, is very sad that he is not here. Wah, wah. I see you nodding in your new palatial studio with the views behind you. Oh, and don't you wish you were still over here with us? You could have stopped by, Roger.
Yeah, I know I could have.
You could have?
I was a little tied up in traffic, so I was cutting it close.
No, that's no good. Well, sorry you couldn't join us.
That's all right, but I live vicariously through your adventures.
So do you? I have so many adventures.
Yes, I know.
I'm like a comic book character.
But even more, you're like a graphic novel.
You know what? That's exactly what I am. I'm black and white. I'm drawn with heavy pencil. Mm-hmm. And yet I have so many adventures.
Yes.
So many adventures. Yeah. You know what adventure I have to do?
What?
A commercial adventure. So let's go on it together. Thank you, Roger. How's the new place? Everything good over there?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah?
I've found the only good working coffee machine.
There's a coffee machine over there?
Oh, no, there's several of them.
Really? That beats the old place already. Right now, I can't wait to move.
In fact, I'm in heaven because there is a humongous espresso machine.
Really?
And you know me and my espresso.
Yes. Aren't we fancy? Yes. It's a radio station that has an espresso machine. Really? It's like a convent having, you know, a diaper vending machine. You don't really need it. But,
oh, I do.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know you do.
I do.
Oh, yeah, this is good news. Our feed to you just went out.
I know. I saw that. I've broken the TV.
We spared no expense at the new WGN to make sure that we can stay in constant contact.
Well, we've got engineers all over the place walking around doing stuff. Yeah, there we go.
So we've got coffee machines over there. That's a bonus. There's espresso.
Several refrigerators. Nice ones.
Are they already filled with rotting food?
Not yet.
All right, I'll give
that
to you.
We're waiting for you to bring over the stuff from there. I heard you earlier. There's a lot of rotting food there.
No, this is not rotting. This food was prime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sure Pam will be here momentarily. She was very upset.
She is still very upset.
I told her she was welcome to come.
I know she's still doing some work, though.
No, let it go.
So it's not up to me.
Seriously, it's Sunday.
We also have a dishwashing machine.
You know what's funny?
What?
It all sounds wonderful. We have all the bells and whistles.
Yes.
So far, you haven't mentioned anything that has to do with us actually doing radio.
Well, we got that.
We've got a lot of coffee machines. We have a dishwashing machine.
Yeah.
Are we a kitchen or are we?
No, it's
what are
not
we
a
doing
full
over
kitchen,
there?
A couple microwaves. You will love the performance. I see you guys. You have
yes, Rory Makeham is going to perform some music in just
a
little bit.
Beautiful performance studio.
Yeah, next time
that's
we see
going to be great. You can even
next time
have
we see you, Rory, you'll be able to you know. Oh, you'll be in a whole separate. I won't even have to look at you.
You'll be allowed there.
Yeah, you'll be over in this room, and we never have to see each other. You'll be in heaven.
That
you get to perform
fantastic.
On the radio, and you don't have to see me. It works out perfect.
I'll do my magic tricks.
It's going to be phenomenal. All right. Well, Roger, good to see you.
You too.
Even from far away. Next week, we'll be reunited, and it feels so good. Peaches and Herb said it best, I think.
That's right.
So we will be reunited. It'll be
awesome.
Lovely. We'll perhaps embrace. It'll be awkward, but that'll be fine. That'll be next week.
Okay.
Right now, though, we look ahead. Because you know me, Roger, I don't like to look back.
No.
Reminiscing never. Is for suckers.
Yep.
I don't care. If it happened yesterday, it's done. I wash my hands of it. I look forward. I look forward to the weekend of July 6th, 7th, and 8th. Because that is, of course, Irish Fest weekend at the Irish American Heritage Center. And with me in the studio, my good friend, fellow committee member for the Irish American Hall of Fame, but the chair of the Irish Fest himself, Mike Shevlin, is here. How are you, Mike?
Brian, how are you?
I'd be better if I turned your microphone on.
It's even better now.
Yes. See? And Mike, also a radio host, I had the privilege of doing your show with Tim Taylor about a month
or
so ago.
As usual.
Well, listen, that's not true, but it was nice of you to have me. And we were just joking because at your studio, you're up on the north side.
Right.
And what's the...
It's Windy City Irish Radio. We're at 1240 a.m. on Wednesday nights, WSBC.
Yeah.
So we're up on the Jefferson Park area.
All right. So I came in to do the show, and I made the mistake of coming in with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Which seems, you know, a normal thing. A guest comes in, he's, you know, I want to be revved up to do the big show. And I had a cup of coffee, and it had a cover on it. And yet there were signs everywhere, which I
You ignored.
Yeah. It said no beverages anywhere in the studio, and I'm thinking, well, I'm around electrical equipment all the time. I've never, knock on wood, I've never spilled anything on it because our drinks are, you know, off behind us. But you made me move my coffee to the floor.
I think you noticed when you were in that particular studio that equipment is so old. Because they can keep it for so long because
nobody comes in with beverages. And then here I come, Mr. Big Shot thinks he can bring a cup of coffee in. I'm above the rules.
You were put in your place, weren't you?
I was, very quickly. And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. All right, so my coffee went on the floor. And then I, you know, intentionally, just kicked it. Kicked it all over everything.
You survived the hour without your caffeine, so.
No, it was fine. Okay. During breaks, I got up and left and drank my coffee and then came back in. Listen, I'm not low key, but we're not here to talk about my caffeine addiction. We're here to talk about Irish Fest, which is very, very exciting. I signed up today. My wife and I volunteered last year. We will be there again this year, which is great. We had a lot of fun volunteering. But how many years?
This is the 33rd year of the Irish Fest
really?
At the Irish American Heritage Center. That's right.
That seems amazing to me. You have a unique connection to the center.
I think there's been a direct family member of myself that's been involved with the Heritage Center all 33 of those years.
Because your dad helped actually originate and build it, right?
Yeah, my dad was one of the founders. My mom and dad, along with a whole lot of others, were among the founders of the Irish American Heritage Centers. My dad was their first president, and my dad helped run the Irish Fest for many years back in the 80s and 90s.
So 33rd year, you said?
Correct.
33rd year. Obviously, things have evolved over those 33 years. As the guy who's now in charge of this, what do you see as the biggest change that not only since the beginning, obviously, but every year you need to keep evolving?
Well, I think as a festival, we've had to change quite a bit with the times. And, you know, our budget is much bigger than it was back then.
It is? Well, for some performers. Keep it down over there, guitar
except
man.
Except for when we're paying Rory, of course.
Sure.
He's grandfathered.
Well, sure. Rory, his loyalty is being repaid by 33-year-old prices. That's how loyalty gets repaid. Rory, you know that. You've been in the business a long time.
That is true. Yes.
You've been in a long
time.
But
as you know, expenses go up, Rory, and we have to pay for all the varied activities we have outside of just the music.
If you could perform without lights, maybe get an extra 10 bucks. So think about it. So yeah, everything's gone up. The price of everything has gone up. What about your approach to the entertainment there? Because I would imagine it maybe started out a little more traditional and has changed over time.
Right, our entertainment schedule has become more and more varied as the years have gone on. There's a lot of more different kinds of Irish music than there might have been that you would see that would come from Ireland that would be here in Chicago. You know, you have traditional Irish music, of course, which you'll see a lot of at this particular Irish Fest. Some of the greats are going to be performing at our Irish Fest this year. But there's different genres now of Irish music that's come along since, I guess, the whole Riverdance craze of the 90s. Yeah. Now there's all kinds of different genres, much to Rory's chagrin, of course. But there are... There's a lot of
but
different kinds of Irish
in
music.
In Rory's defense, he does like to dress like Michael Flatley while he performs, which is unique for a guy who does the folk music that Rory does to be dressed like the Lord of the Dance.
Well, when he's at home.
Sure.
In his sweatpants watching. Yeah.
Mike Shevlin is here. Rory Makeup is here. And Jim Stoker is here. We're going to get to why Jim is here in a little bit. We'll talk more about the entertainment, more about Irish Fest, which is taking place July 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Irish American Heritage Center. If you go to irish-american.org, you can get all the information. If you're in the area and you think, boy, this will be a fun event to volunteer for, you can go right on the website there and you can click the link and you can volunteer and be part of Irish Fest, which is in its 33rd year again, July 6th, 7th, and 8th. More with the guys on the other side. It is WGN. We are getting ready for Irish Fest, which is happening July 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Irish American Heritage Center. You know that's at 4626 North Knox Avenue in Chicago. Very, very easy to get there via public transportation. There's free parking. There's a shuttle from the remote parking lots. It is 3 days of fun Irish entertainment. And what's going on here? Let me turn that off. Mike Shevlin's here. He's the chair of the fest. Rory Makeham is here. We've had Rory with us before. It is always a treat to see Rory. He's one of the entertainers this year. And Jim Stoker is here. We are keeping Jim's identity a secret because this is exciting. Jim is adding a new wrinkle, right? As we talked about, Mike, the fest always evolving. this is an evolution that is happening this year that Jim is going to be a part of that we're going to talk about after the news. We started talking about the entertainment and how it's changed over the years and how there's so many different types of Irish music. Everybody can kind of identify the traditional Irish music, but there's so much. There's rock music, there's folk music, there's all sorts of Irish music. Has it gotten easier or tougher with the abundance of different types of bands for you to make the choices of who's coming?
Well, of course, the quality. There's so many wonderful bands out there, wonderful musicians, and you can't have them all.
Right.
But I like that we're able to have just a cross-section of just about everything there. And this year in particular, you know, for any bluegrass fans that are out there, or even if you want to even call it maybe country music a little bit, but Celtic grass music is kind of what we call it. And we've got a couple of bands that are playing at this Irish Fest that, you know, you can see them at your larger festivals, like a bluegrass festivals or even rock festivals, folk festivals around the country. And they're also, they hit the Irish music circuit as well. And so We Banjo 3 is, they played the Grand Ole Opry. And they played Milwaukee Irish Fest, and this is, we're going to have them back at our second year here.
I was going to say, they were at Irish Fest last year
And they killed it, and we're very happy that on the way out the door, they said, can we come back next year? And we said, absolutely, so we're thrilled to have them back.
And that's got to be tricky, because all the bands I saw last year were phenomenal.
Right.
So how do you say, well, I could be lazy and just book the same bands if they're available, but I want to keep, you want to keep bringing in, you want to keep some of the popular ones and bring in some new ones. That's got to be a tricky balance.
Well, there's so many of them that have been with us for so long. You know, another one of our headliners is Gaelic Storm, and mm-hmm. they're one of the biggest bands on the Irish music circuit. But they've been playing with us at our festival for over 20 years now.
Wow.
And, you know, we give them a year off every once in a while, but for the most part, everyone expects Sunday night that Gaelic Storm's going to play. Rory Makeham over here, you know, he's performed in some capacity with us going back probably 26, 27
years probably.
Yeah. Wow. You are a glutton for punishment, Rory.
Well, when somebody likes me, I just keep coming back.
I understand. Listen, that's why I'm here every day. I understand that completely. So let's talk to Rory for a minute, and then we'll get back to Mike. And Jim is sitting there going, why did they even bring me in? Jim, trust me, we're getting the big buildup. It's the tease. That's what we do. Jim Stoker, we're going to talk to him on the other side of news. But Rory, everybody, Rory has been touring for, 25 years, more than that. Make 'em in Spain and on your own, and you started out working with your dad, the great Tommy Make 'em.
For 17 years.
Is that hard to play with your dad?
Oh, no. It was the best gig in Irish music. It was fabulous. Yeah.
Are you able to leave the father-son dynamic that you may have at home when you get on stage? Does dad treat you like a professional guitar player, or does dad treat you still as, Rory, I told you to take out the garbage yesterday and you didn't do it?
No. He was never that kind of father anyway. I remember when he'd want something done, he'd say, I wonder how we can get that fence fixed. Dad, just tell me to fix the fence.
Yeah, very passive.
No, and when we'd play gigs together, I mean, he was such a hero of mine.
Yeah.
It was a joy to be on stage with a master.
That's terrific. And your grandmother was a big inspiration, too.
My granny was a singer. They're called source singers.
Source singers?
She didn't know she was a singer, and people used to show up at her house back in the 50s and 60s when all the collegiate types were going nuts for authentic folk music.
Okay.
They'd go to Ireland. People like Alan Lomax and Pete Seeger and Diane Hamilton and Gene Ritchie, they'd all show up at her house with big tape recording machines.
Wow.
And a recorder singing.
Very nice. And you've carried on this tradition wonderfully, and I'm sure, the family would be very proud, and is very proud. So now, what are you going to do for us? What are you going to do for us here?
Well, strangely enough, I thought I might do a song my father wrote.
Okay.
And it welcomes in summer. It'll be here at some point.
One of these days, it's going to come.
Well, there are blossoms on the hawthorn that scent the morning breeze, and the oak and the ash and the copper beech are covered down with leaves. And the road is bright in the morning light as it runs down from the door. And the lark is high in the golden sky, and I'm on my way once more. Down summer roads, all full of turns and bends. Summer roads that lead to all my friends. Summer roads by summer streams, where I live all my winter dreams. And the good times always start down summer roads. There's music all around me on every bush and tree. And the cuckoo and the corncrake keep calling out to me. And the linnet's song rings all day long to greet me as I go. And as I pass in the roadside grass, a magpie nods hello. Down summer roads all full of turns and bends, summer roads that lead to all my friends, summer roads by summer streams where I love all my winter dreams. And the times, oh, it start down summer roads. In the quiet of the evening, I rosined up my bow, and then I started nice and easy with something sweet and slow. There's a faster beat in the village street, and the friends all start to sway, and the fiddle sings and the laughter rings, and we dance till the break of day. Down summer roads all full of turns and bends, summer roads that lead to all my friends, summer roads by summer streams where I live all my winter dreams. And the times always start down summer roads. There's a corner in my memory where all the good times stay, and in all my summer ramblings there were good times every day. Around every bend I find a friend, a welcome and a smile, and pleasant hours and fields of flowers, a memory every mile. Down summer roads all full of turns and bends, summer roads that lead to all my friends, summer roads by summer streams where I love all my winter dreams. And the good times always start down summer roads, summer roads all full of turns and bends, summer roads that lead to all my friends, summer roads by summer streams where I love all my winter dreams. And the good times always start down summer roads.
The wonderful Rory Makeham. You can see him everywhere, but you can also see him at Irish Fest, which is happening July 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Irish American Heritage Center. That's at 4626 North Knox Avenue. Irish-American.org is the website. Get the schedule. Rory, you're playing on Saturday and Sunday. They won't leave you alone.
I love it.
That's terrific.
Bring it on.
I can see why this is one of the guys you keep around.
Absolutely.
Rory brings it every time. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's news time. Then we are going to talk more with Mike Shevlin, the Irish Fest chairman. Rory Makeham will perform again. And Jim Stoker, the man, the mystery. Why have we been keeping him quiet? Because he has something very, very exciting bringing to Irish Fest this year for the first time. So we'll talk to Jim and all of that after the news, which happens after this on WGN. U2, one of the few Irish bands that will not be at Irish Fest July 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Irish American Heritage Center. But there is going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful amounts of entertainment, like Rory Makeham, who is in the studio with me. We'll hear more from Rory in a few minutes. Wee Banjo 3, Gaelic Storm, Liz Carroll, Bernan Kelly, Jig Jam, Tupelo, who I saw last year. They were phenomenal. Mike Shevlin's here. He is the fest chair from the Irish American Heritage Center. And you brought a man with you today who I've been giving a hard time because we haven't talked to him yet. But Jim Stoker is here. He is with Redhead Days. And this is, as we talked about the fest evolving, this is something new this year. First of all, welcome, Jim, and thank you for being so patient.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. So you are a redhead.
Yes.
Tell me, what is Redhead Days? Because it sounds like an invasion of gingers. And is, first of all, before I offend you, is ginger an offensive term?
No, it's not.
But, okay. We'll go redheads?
Redheads.
All right.
Yeah.
So is this a way for redheads to unite and overtake the world?
Yes, we're planning world domination.
I like that. Good. Yeah. It's good to have goals. So what is Redhead Days? Where did it begin? How has it changed?
Well, it's basically a gathering.
Okay.
And I discovered it in Holland.
Really?
6 years ago.
Okay.
I was riding my bicycle across Europe and completely by chance came across a small town in southern Holland as I was heading towards Belgium to drink beer. And
which is a lofty goal. I like that.
I'd been a redhead for almost 55 years at that point.
Okay.
Never been around more than a handful, and all of a sudden here I am in a small town with thousands of redheads. So
that has to be a life-changing experience.
It was. It really made me feel different about myself.
Yeah, because, you know, you see a lot of blondes, you see a lot of brunettes, you don't see too many redheads, and when you do, they're like unicorns. They do stand out in a good way.
Yeah, we're 2% of the population, and those of us with blue eyes and red hair are 1% of the population.
Is that right?
So, yeah, we're pretty scarce.
Wow, very nice. So you get to this town, you see all these redheads, and you think to yourself, finally, I found my people. How does that? How does that? Were they doing this gathering, or was this some like little island of Dr. Moreau where they were all living in hiding?
No, it was their 7th annual Breda Holland Redhead Days.
Okay,
and so I just came across it by chance, and so I own a little restaurant in a small town north of here, and I thought, I can do that. And then they were looking for worldwide affiliates. And so 3 years ago, we threw our first one up in Highwood. So
okay.
This will be our fourth.
And how did you decide to make the to bring it to the festival?
Well, I kind of got tired of throwing my own festival was one thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
A lot of work and a lot of money and all that kind of thing. And so the Irish folks here were nice enough to invite me to partner with them.
Very nice.
And because I wanted to bring it into the city.
Okay.
So that it was more accessible to redheads around town and around the world. And mm-hmm. So they have a great location.
Oh, sure.
You know, just off Wilson, so near the Blue Line and everything. So that was one of my goals. And they have a wonderful facility.
It's terrific. And you don't have to be a redhead to enjoy it, which is nice.
Yeah. No, our fest is for redheads or their admirers.
See, and that's, I will say, let me get this out of the way. There's something about redheaded women. They seem fiery in the best possible way. They're different from other women. And I'm not talking about women who dye their hair red. They take on a little of the persona. But natural redheads, and Rory, I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, from years on the road, redheaded women, they're a little bit different in a great way.
Well, I'm a married man.
I know, but you weren't always married.
No, I wasn't. I admire redheaded women, yes.
That's a very politically correct answer. Mike, I won't ask you because you're... Now, are you technically a redhead? Kinda.
It depends
no?
on the day, I suppose.
Okay.
He would pass.
I think I would pass the
okay,
test.
Okay, he could pass. That's why I know you were, you know, you were hoping, oh, can I be part of the group? I think you can.
I'll find a way to muscle my way into the picture.
Well, sure, you're the fest chairman. If you, you know, maybe you just toss them all out.
Well, my co-chair is decidedly not redhead.
Correct.
So I can maybe take the leadership role with the redhead days as being a representative, maybe.
There you go. So what can, now we know all the things that are happening at the festival, the redhead days, how is that blending into the festival? What are you guys doing for your part?
Well, it's a gathering first and foremost for us to see each other, be with each other. One of the features I think is Friday night we're going to have a meet a single redhead night in the pub.
Hey now.
From 7 to 9. So
notice this is why Rory is not performing on that.
Yeah,
night.
Rory's off on
He's
Friday.
A married man.
That's for sure he is. He made that abundantly clear, Mike. I don't think there's any question. Rory, you were 100% adamant about that. We know.
Well, I know I'm picking my tux up in the afternoon. So
are you going? Is it a formal affair? You just
for me it is.
What are you like, James Bond? You're wandering in. Hello, redheads. Make them, Rory. Make them.
Not so much James Bond as like
Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean. I was going to say Larry Hagman when he went to, you know.
Oh, wow. You're J.R. Ewing Larry Hagman or I Dream of Jeannie Larry Hagman?
I Dream of Jeannie Larry
sure,
Hagman.
Of course.
Sharp dresser. So.
He was very sharp. Very sharp. He might meet an Irish single redhead. So, okay. So Friday night, that's happening.
Yeah. And then Saturday, we always hope to attract a big enough crowd to break the world record for the most redheads in one picture.
Ooh. What is the world record? Do we know?
It's a couple thousand.
Okay.
And so we're hoping, I think it's at 2:30 on Saturday.
Correct. We've got 2:30 that okay. Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will it count if I'll be there at that time? Will it count if I put on some sort of, can I help in any way? Put on a wig?
Sure.
Or anything to, if it's from far enough away, will they be going head to head and checking?
There'll be a lot of Guinness there. I'm just not sure the Guinness book will be there.
Okay, so. Well, it's a beer world record.
Well, the Guinness. We're looking
sure,
for a
I
record,
understand.
Right?
Okay, so we got to have more than 2,000 redheads to break this record, give
yeah.
or take.
Give or take
a redhead
right.
or two.
Right.
Okay, and so then now after. I'm just thinking, I know the facility at the Irish American Heritage Center, and Irish Fest is always crowded, July 6th, 7th, mm-hmm. and 8th. Now, we're throwing in 2,000 redheads, and then once you disperse, what kind of craziness are you going to unleash on the rest of the festival?
Well, later that day, we're going to do a carrot cake throwdown. So, you know, carrot top, carrot cake, you know, kind of
all
thing.
Right.
So anybody who wants to enter that, professionals or amateurs.
Oh, nice.
Just show up with a carrot cake and we'll have some judges and we'll see what you
and
got.
We're looking for judges, Brian.
Hey, so, I'm there that day. I already told you. I'm selling tickets early in the day and then I'll just be drinking. And what goes better after drinking than some carrot cake? And I'm sure I can't be swayed. But I'm in Chicago, and I'm as corrupt as the next guy. So we've got the carrot cake. First, we've got the Meet the Single Redhead. That's Friday night in the 5th Province at the Heritage Center. Saturday, we're going to try to break the record for most redheads in one picture.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the carrot cake throwdown. And then Sunday, there's got to be some big finale, right?
Well, we're going to have some contests. Basically, okay. The longest red hair, the nice. Reddest beard, the cutest redhead couple, where both couples have red hair.
Ooh.
Maybe the most redheads in one family get up on stage, and then and that'll
well,
be kind
great.
Of a crowd judging event. You
that
know.
Sounds very cool. And this is Redhead Days, which is coming to the Irish Fest for the first time. Now, you mentioned you had a small restaurant. Why don't you just say what the small
sure,
restaurant
is? Sure, it's up in Highwood, which okay. is North Shore. It's sure. Alex's Washington Garden, so it's oh. a little Italian restaurant that's been there 36 years.
Very nice.
I took it over 11 years ago to save it, and
okay.
Great food, great people.
Very nice. Come Alex's Washington Gardens.
Great food. I
very
can,
nice.
I can vouch for the food.
There you
fabulous,
go.
Fabulous, yeah.
Very nice. Unsolicited. You still married, Rory?
Still married.
Okay. Rory, make him married. He's also entertaining at the Irish Fest, which is July 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Irish American Heritage Center. So, Jim, you're coming. This is exciting. Do people come from, I know the first one you saw was in Holland. Do people come? Are you expecting redheads from all over the world on this weekend?
Well, at least all over the country.
All over the country?
On our Facebook page, which is RHD Chicago.
Okay.
We've had people posting from Connecticut,
nice.
From pretty far west. And, you know, over the last 3 years, we've had people from, I think, about 18 states.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And again, 2% of the population, this is worldwide population, 2% redhead. Only 1% of the population redhead and blue eyes.
That's my understanding.
And
yeah.
that's you. You're
that's
in that
me.
One. You're one of the 1%ers.
I'm a 1%er.
But not the bad 1% that people protest about. You're the good 1%ers. We don't want anybody coming up there with, you know, signs or anything.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that is happening. Redhead Day Chicago is coming to the Irish Fest. Irish-American.org is the website. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back. Rory Makeham is going to perform for us again. It is all happening here on WGN. Irish-American.org if you want to get all the information, or if you think it'll be fun to volunteer, and I can tell you it is fun to volunteer up there because people are having a good time, and when people are having a good time, they tend not to be rude. They are they're just there to have fun. Mike Shevlin is the Fest co-chair. Jim Stoker is here from Redhead Day Chicago. If you are a redhead, Jim, give me that Facebook page again for people who might be looking to...
Sure, it's RHD Chicago.
RHD Chicago on Facebook. It's a whole weekend, and they are trying on Saturday to get the most... A world's record for most redheads in one picture. So whether you're a redhead, you know a redhead, you can borrow a redhead for the weekend. I don't know how you go about borrowing a human being, but maybe you can. Bring them up to the Irish Fest. And let's, before we're running short of time, but we talked about all the entertainment. There's food, there's classes, there's all yeah. sorts of things.
If you want to learn some of the Irish language, there's Irish language classes, Gaelic classes, or not classes, but a presentation.
Yeah.
There's also a genealogy, if you want to find out where your family's from, Irish or not, redhead or not.
Right.
There's genealogy. There's all kinds. We have Baron Clinic
yes.
From
my
your
teacher,
friend, Mike Austin. Michael Austin
yes.
will be there. There's all kinds of, we have cultural events on the second floor. Or the second floor of our building is kind of like the crown jewel of the Irish American Heritage Center, where we have a museum, an art gallery, a library. There's going to be music and presentations up there on the second floor.
A lot of kids'
floor.
Activities.
Kids' activities. We have a whole kids' area. The Chicago White Sox are
Yay.
A sponsor of our festival, and they'll be there with their street team, and there'll be a lot of stuff
will
for
South
kids.
Will Southpaw be there?
You know what? Southpaw, we sure hope you will.
We sure hope you will, too. Southpaw, if you're listening, you know, I know you follow me on Twitter, so you got to be there.
Yeah.
So it's a family event.
There's
a lot of fun, whether you're Irish or just wish you were Irish, you need to get to the center that weekend.
That's right. And just, you know, so it's $10 tickets in advance up
okay.
until July the 5th. And then it's $15 at the door. But the key thing to remember, 12 and under are free.
12 and under are free, which is phenomenal.
And redheads... Go to their Facebook page. There might be a special discount in there.
Oh, okay. Very nice. So RHD Chicago on Facebook. You can find out maybe special deal. We don't know. I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there isn't. Kids under 12 free. You get your tickets at irish-american.org. You can buy them now, and you get in for $10, which is unbelievable for the amount of entertainment you're going to hear. Like the man who is in the studio, sitting there, ready. We know he's married. We know he can sing because he sang for us already. Rory Makeham is here. What are you going to do for us before we get out of here, Rory?
I'm not quite sure. Quite
okay.
yet. I'll just start something.
And yeah, start
it'll
something.
Come out. Our fa-la-la-lo, ro, our fa-la-la-lay. Our fa-la-la-lo, ro, our fa-la-la-lay. Our fa-la-la-lo, ro, our fa-la-la-lay. Fol-dee-fun-do-ro, ar fa-la-la-lay. There's a little in this song I sing, there's laughter and love. There's tang of the sea and blue from heaven above. Of reason there's none, and why should there be for by? As long as there's fire in the blood and the light in the eye. Arfalalalo, ro, arfalalalay. Arfalalalo, ro, arfalalalay. Arfalalalo, ro, arfalalalay. Fully, fundo, ro, arfalalalay. Whether this blood be highland, lowland, or no, and whether the skin be white or black as the snow, of kith and of kin we are one, be it right, be it wrong. As long as our voices join in the chorus of song, our fa-la-la-lo, ro, our fa-la-la-lay. Our fa-la-la-lo, ro, our fa-la-la-lay. Our fa-la-la-lo, ro, our fa-la-la-lay. Fa-la-la-lo, ro, our fa-la-la-lay.
The wonderful Rory Makeham always always delivers the goods.
Well, if I always was thinking, delivers them. I would have done Red-Haired Mary.
Oh, see?
I'll have it down for the festival.
Now, Jim, I don't know if you noticed, as Rory was playing, some people were stopping here on Michigan Avenue to listen to Rory's performance. One of the young men, a bright redhead.
Yeah, I almost ran out and gave him a card.
I know. I was hoping he would stay because I was going to tell him to go to RHD Chicago on Facebook so he could sign up and get all the information. Redhead Days is Redhead Day Chicago is part of Irish Fest this year, which is very, very exciting. Irish Fest, again, an unbelievable time. Whether you're Irish, whether you aren't Irish but just wish you were, or whether you're just in the neighborhood and are looking for a wonderful time. Family friendly, great music, great food. You don't have to go more than about a foot and a half to get a beer, which is a key. I know, Mike, you don't like to use that as a selling point, but people this time of year, people go to festivals, and sometimes you have to stand in line for 20 minutes, a half hour to get a drink, and you're missing the bands, you're missing this activity. The Irish people know how to do it.
Not at Irish Fest.
Not at Irish Fest. No. You can get, and there's plenty of non-alcoholic drinks, there's plenty of food. Again, great kids' activities. Are the Irish Wolfhounds going to be there again?
They will.
I know the kids love to see the Wolfhounds.
Of course, yeah.
You can learn your culture. Learn genealogy. Go upstairs to the second floor. If you've never been to the Irish American Heritage Center, 4626 North Knox Avenue in Chicago, irish-american.com. Irish Fest, July 6th, 7th, and 8th. Rory is going to be there Saturday and Sunday. He can't go Friday because, as we heard, he's married, and it's a big meet an Irish red or meet a single redhead night. And you know, I'm not saying you'd give in to temptation easily, Rory, but why put yourself in that situation?
Why do that indeed, Brian?
Which is why I also will not be there on Friday. But I will be there on Saturday and Sunday. It is a wonderful time. Mike, any last things we need? Oh, tickets, 12 and under. You're free. Kids, bring your kids. They're in for free. Buy your tickets before
July 5th,
July 5th for $10. After July 5th, you have to pay a whopping $15.
Yeah.
That's nothing for what you're going to get.
For our headliners at this festival, you would be paying $20 or more for each of them. So
For what you get in the atmosphere that you get it, $10 is a steal. $15 still a steal. So get your tickets now, irish-american.org. Bring the kids. It's a load of fun, and I can't wait to be there again this year. So thank you for coming in. Don't forget, if you are a redhead, go to RHD Chicago on Facebook, because Jim Stoker has decided it's time to blend the Redhead Day Chicago with Irish Fest. Bring all the redheads together for world domination, or at least domination of 4626 North Knox Avenue, which is where the Irish American Heritage Center is. So I can't wait to see all the redheads wandering around slathered in, what, SPF 200? Is that what redheads wear when they go out in the summer?
At least.
Okay, so you'll be able to tell, one, they'll have red hair, two, they'll be covered in lotion. So it's going to be, are we going to do a contest like they do when they throw a watermelon into a pool that's been coated with Vaseline? Can we try to catch a redhead? Is it like if I catch a leprechaun, do
We're
I win
always
something?
Always looking for ideas, Brian.
All right, well, that one's free.
That could be another committee for you, yeah. Right there.
trying to convince redheads to let us wrestle them to the ground while they're coated with suntan lotion. Yeah. You never know. All right, Irish Fest, you know it's July 6th, 7th, and 8th. Go to irish-american.org. Mike Shevlin, thank you for coming
in. Thank you, Brian.
Jim Stoker, great to have you. And as always, the incomparable Rory Makeham. It is always an honor to have you in here.
Brian, thanks so much. It's thrilled to be here, and I can't wait for the festival.
And next time we see you, we'll be 18 floors up. So enjoy the view while you can, gentlemen. All right, let's say goodbye. Then we'll see what Karen Conti has on her big show. It's WGN. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the program. The final show from the Allstate Showcase studio for us. The rest of the shows will continue to broadcast from here through the week. I think Karen Conti is next. She hasn't come in. Is she here, Cash? Karen's coming in. She's Bigfooting me today. She's not going to come in and say hello.
I don't know about Bigfooting.
Yeah, come on. You know she's Bigfooting me. She's out there.
No.
I'm not talking to Noonan. Forget about it. I understand how that goes.
I mean, that's fine. Are late. So, I mean, she might just figure since you're late.
She's worked with me for 7 years. She knows there's never a point that I'm on time. And a minute, 2 minutes late, that's not late. That's right on time. But now that Karen's here late, I can't talk to her. No, it's time to go. No, sit down. What are you?
So forceful. Sit down.
No.
You seemed like you didn't want to sit. Oh, you're bringing in a whole gaggle of folks too. We had a whole big gaggle of folks in here, and you're bringing in your own gaggle.
I do not travel alone.
Listen, you shouldn't travel heavy. Posses are key. You excited about excited and torn about your final show in here?
I am, and it looks so foggy and soupy out
yes.
there. But it's okay. I'm okay with it. It's just going to be a different different venue.
Next week we'll be high above the Chicago skyline, broadcasting from the middle of the air. What do you have on the big show tonight?
I have the president of the Illinois Bar. We're going to be talking about that judge who was recalled out in California. A little bit about that.
Giving the light sentence to the swimmer.
Is that something that should happen? Should there be judicial scrutiny?
Yes,
among other things. And then we're talking to a couple who wrote a book about breaking through bias and why women are treated completely differently in the workplace as men, and still going on. And then we're going to be talking to Dr. Shulman from Rush about suicide, about obviously the two high-profile suicides we had this week.
Very heavy topics,
yes.
But you will handle them with your usual light and deft touch.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, we'll see you next week in the all-new places. That's Karen Conti. Thank you again for being part of it. Thanks to our friends from Mastros for coming in. Thanks to the folks from the Irish American Heritage Center. Don't forget RHD Chicago on Facebook if you are a redhead. Rory Makeham, phenomenal again. That's it. We got to go. As Cash said, we're late, but that's nothing new. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Next Door and Window. It's a little after 7, but he's patient. Well, why not? He's sitting up in the sky. It's Roger Badish.